It's really tall, isn't it? Anyway, welcome to Cobblestone. My name is Andrew Holsworth. I'm the lead pastor. How you doing? Hey, great. Welcome to church. All right, fist bump somebody, smack somebody, be like, what's up? I'm so glad you're here. No one's moving. Everyone's really tense at 9 a.m. Welcome. We are in a series called Preach, really just where you invite people, men of God, other pastors, people I know, just to come here and yell about what they're passionate about. And we're going to start that in a few minutes. But I actually felt compelled to touch on one little cultural topic, and we're going to pray for these men that are going to preach, but also for our nation. I've been quite clear in the past, and this always makes white people uncomfortable, but we're a really white church. Look at us. But if you don't like people of other skin color, you're going to hate heaven. And what's going on in our culture right now, I have much to say about. But all I really want to say is hatred and this idea that like one race is preferred is not scriptural and not the gospel. And so I just want to pray, like we're just going to pray for our nation. We're going to pray for Charlottesville. We're going to pray for our brothers and sisters that are not white. I know where we live. We live in Oxford, Ohio, and I welcome the conversations. If you're like, hey, this is how you can be not so white at Cobblestone, come, tell me. We're going to be, it's just a constant conversation I have in my own head, and I want to hear you. We love you. All that. So I'm going to pray for that, and you can join in me. Pray for those you know, African-American brothers and sisters. Pray for those that are just different skin color, because my conversations with them is they're afraid, and this is scary. And I'm like, all right, I'll pray all over that. The Holy Spirit make you bold. So we're going to pray for that, and then I'm going to pray for the two guys that are coming up, and I'll explain what's going on. Can we pray? All right. God, thank you that you are sovereign, that you are on the throne, and that you, Jesus, you see the cry of your people, and that's not a white thing, that's not a black thing, that's not a cultural thing. That's just like you created all, and you invite everybody in through your son, Jesus. And so, Lord, we pray for our country. We pray for the citizens of Charlottesville. Jesus, you would do a work there. You'd mobilize your people, make them bold in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, pour out. That you'd make us aware in our own hearts, God, where there's any racism or bigotry or hatred towards other. I mean, these are souls, people, like that you created. And so, Lord, I pray that we would show that off, God. We would show off the kingdom of heaven here. I know the demographics of Oxford, God, but I pray that you would draw all men of every tribe and every nation to worship your son, Jesus. Thank you, God, that it's a beautiful tapestry. Like you created cultures. You created the men and women of every nation. And so, Lord, we praise you. We trust you. Do a work, God. I mean, I don't even know how to fix it, but you can. And so, Lord, we cry out to you, and I also pray out just a little bit more right here, right now, in this room, Jesus, that you called these men and women to this place, and that we're going to open up your word, that we've worshiped you, and that, Jesus, you would convict us and mold us and shape us according to your word in these next few minutes. And so, Jesus, we love you. We want to love you more. In your name, amen. And so today you're going to hear from two elders, not one, but two. And so that's just number one. These guys don't public speak all the time. So if you could just cut them a little slack, please. Tune in. Maybe I know we're not a real like vocal church, but if you could give them a little interaction, laugh at their jokes, I actually want to listen to you, okay? They're my friends. I'm related to one of them. You can figure out which one here in a second. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to invite Brad Newcomer up here right now, actually. So if you'd welcome him up here. And then when Brad's done, this is Brad. When Brad's finished, Daryl Zimmer's going to come up and he's going to preach. And so they're just going to do a little tag team, and they're going to ask you to get the Bible open. So why don't you do that? If you don't have a Bible, grab a Bible, open it up, and I'm going to hand it off to Brad.
Thank you.
Good morning.
First of all, to let you know, I'm Daryl's warm-up act. So like halfway through the 9 o'clock service, people were going, Daryl. So I didn't know if I should shut up and let Daryl come up or not. But anyway, Psalms 107, verse 1 and 2. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. I'm redeemed. Are you redeemed today? Good. When I was a boy, I went to church with my parents. went to Presbyterian Church, and there's a couple things I learned in Sunday school. I learned that David had blonde hair and blue eyes, and he wore a white choir robe. I learned that Jesus loved sheep, and that if one of them got lost, he'd leave all the other ones and run off after that one. And I learned that he wore a white choir robe too. But I didn't know if Jesus loved me. When I was 12 or 13, my parents let me decide, thought I was mature enough to decide if I should still attend church or not, or even about my beliefs in God. So I quit going to church. I quit thinking about God. I have great parents, they're still alive, but I still wonder why they felt at 12 or 13 I was mature enough to make my own decisions about my eternal life, but I wasn't able to buy a Pepsi or wear blue jeans to school. By the time I was 20, the 7-8 years in between 12, 13, and 20, I'd read enough of the Quran, Buddhist, Hindu writings, writings from other religions. I didn't read much of the Bible during that time because I already knew it from Sunday school, what I learned at Sunday school about David having blonde hair and blue eyes and Jesus who really loved sheep. But I had come to the conclusion that all of those writings, that there's probably some truth in all of those writings. And let me stop right there. Don't come up to me after the service and hate on me because I said there's truth in all those other writings. Just to let you know, I said that's what I believed when I was 20. But I believe there was probably some truth in all those writings, but that not all of them could be completely true, so that all of them must be mostly false. But I couldn't help but wonder why every night as I lay in my little attic bedroom in my Korean Army war surplus sleeping bag, why even in my assurance that at the age of 20 I had proved every major religion wrong, I couldn't stop wondering why it felt like I was wandering in a desert, why I was hungry and thirsty for something, why I was looking for something, but there was nothing there. I couldn't help wondering why there was so much darkness when I knew somehow there was supposed to be light. I was looking for something to shine my way to the truth, some light to shine my way to the truth. But thanks be to God for his steadfast love. I had a friend who had just become a Christian, and he invited me to church. He said that the preacher was good. He didn't even use notes. I said, no thanks, I'm not going. A couple weeks later, he said, the music's really good, and you probably could even play in the band. I said, nope, I'm not going. A little while after that, he said, there's girls there. So the next week, I went to church with my friend, and I kept going. And slowly, God began to tear down the walls that I had built up between me and him. Slowly, God began between cracking open those places of darkness and shining the light of his love on me. I cried out to God in the midst of that darkness, in the midst of those times, and he delivered me. He answered me. He redeemed me. Thank be to God for his steadfast love. And as for the girls, 37 years ago, I married one of them, and she's sitting right back there. When God saved me, I knew what I had been saved from. I just told you about it. I knew what I had been saved from. I knew that from the moment he saved me, that I was a new creation. I knew 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. But what I didn't know for years, what I didn't understand, or what maybe somebody, they didn't tell me, or they told me and I didn't listen. But anyway, what I didn't understand for years is, for what had God saved me for? For what purpose did God save me? For a long time, it seemed that the only thing that had changed in my life, that the only thing that was different from the old me, was that I had different friends. I listened to different music, and I said amen instead of other words that I might have said. If you're a Christian, whether you're a babe in Christ today or whether you've been a Christian for a long time, for years, and you're asking the same thing that I was asking myself, maybe you've given up asking. What am I here for? For what purpose has God saved me for? I've got the answer, and if you're ready, I'll give it to you. It's four short words. It's to do good works. Now, I know I probably, good works is a kind of a trigger word for some people because they're probably thinking right now, the next word that comes out of that guy's mouth better be Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, I'll just read it. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Thank you. I should have asked somebody else to read that for me. So Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 are they're two of the cornerstone verses of the Christian faith. But I think we miss out on so much. I know at least I did. I missed out on so much for years of my Christian walk because I didn't read Ephesians 2:10, or I dropped it off the end of verse 9. When Ephesians 2:10 is not an add-on to verse 9, it's a continuation of verse 8 and 9. It's a continuation of Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 10. When I was a babe in Christ, I did good works. Occasionally, I was nice to people. I put money in the collection plate occasionally. If people asked to be helped, I helped them. And I did end up playing in the church band. But for a long time, I had the impression that I was supposed to be doing something. And I was pretty sure that those things I was doing, those good works, I was pretty sure that those works were some kind of payback to God for saving me. I knew from Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 that my works hadn't saved me, but I was kind of pretty sure that my works were going to keep me saved. If you believe like that today, if you believe those things that I had believed, that your works somehow keep you saved, that you need to pay back God, then let me tell you, that's not freedom. That's bondage. God didn't die for you to have freedom to put you back into slavery. Galatians 5:1 says, for freedom, Christ has set you free. Stand fast, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. But you don't have to live like that, like I did. God has a better plan. 40 years ago, I was saved by grace through faith, a faith that God gave me. My salvation was a gift from God. It wasn't from anything that I did. And because he saved me 40 years ago, I'm saved today. Because he saved me 40 years ago, I'm saved 40 years from now, I'm saved 400 years from now. My works today will never keep me saved because I'm already saved. My salvation was a gift from God. There's nothing I can pay him back with. There's nothing he wants me to pay him back with. But God didn't stop when he saved me. He also created a new me. I just read 2 Corinthians 5:17. But God didn't stop there after creating a new me. He created me for a purpose. But God didn't stop there. The purpose he created me were for good works. But God didn't stop there. The good works that he created for me, he created long before I was even born. But God didn't stop there. He helps us on our journey on that path of good works. John 14:16 says, I will ask the Father to give you another helper to be with you always. But God didn't stop there. He gave us hope along the journey. Philippians 1:6, and I am sure that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. But God didn't stop there. God gives us encouragement along the way. Philippians 3:14, press toward the mark for the peace of the high prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But God didn't stop there. He gives us advice along the way. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproaching, and it will be given to him. Again, Psalm 107 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed say so. If you're a Christian today, good news. You were created for a purpose. A life of good, a life of good works with God. A life that every day reflects the working of God's salvation in you. God had a plan for you that he laid out. It says beforehand, but you can imagine since the beginning of time, God knew the plan that he had for you to walk on. And there's only one way to get to that plan that God laid out for you to walk on. Just do it. Just start. Just take a step. Martin Luther King said, faith is taking the first step when you can't see the rest of the staircase. If you want to know what the purpose God has, the plan that God has in your life, take the first step, do something. God will lead you. God will guide you. God will keep you on the path. If you're a Christian today and you think I wasted your time, I don't know how long I've been talking, 10, 15 minutes. If you think I wasted your time, sorry. But you're 15 minutes closer to meeting Jesus face to face. So that may be good news for some of you. Some of you maybe not. And you got to spend it in air conditioning. If you're a Christian today, like I was 30-some years ago, 20 plus, wondering why am I living this new life like a reed blowing in the wind, aimlessly with nowhere to go. Then I ask you that you not leave this church today, because I would love to talk to you more about that. More about God's plan for you, more about God's plan of good works for you. And if you don't want to talk to me, I know John or Andrew would be glad to speak with you about that too, and so would any of the other elders. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, and you probably have no idea what I've been talking about, that's okay. But hopefully you heard that 40 years ago when I was 20, I was wandering in the desert looking for something. There was nothing there. I had darkness in me where I just knew there should be light. If that's you today, I ask you, maybe I even plead with you, don't leave church today, don't leave this building today without talking to somebody, without talking to me or John or Andrew or one of the other elders. Would you pray with me, please? Father, I pray that your voice, that your words have touched in some way everyone's life here. I pray, Father, that for those who are believers but want to know how to walk on this path that you have set before them, this path of good works, I pray that you give them the courage to come and talk to someone. For those who aren't Christians here today, Father, I also pray that you give them the courage to come to one of the elders or one of the prayer team members or someone and just say, tell me about Jesus. Thanks.
hung up. That didn't feel right. Excuse me. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. Passion. Hold it. I did this first service too. Sorry. Passion. A strong feeling of enthusiasm or excitement or something for something or about doing something. Passion. Hi, I'm Daryl Zimmer, one of the elders here at Cobblestone. Andrew asked me to talk about what I'm passionate about. So thinking about it for really quite a while, I realized I would leave out the obvious, Gretchen, my wife, my children, our families, my grandchildren. It took me a while, but it came to me. I'm passionate about God's glory, specifically God's glory manifesting itself here at Cobblestone. What is God's glory? James MacDonald, in his book Vertical Church, puts it this way. You can't see it, but you know where it came from. And you know who it represents. Heat is to fire, glory is to God. As wet is to water, glory is to God. As light is to a light bulb, glory is to God. Glory is in the universe, and in all creation we see God's glory. How would you describe God's glory? Let's look at some glory verses. Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaim his handiwork. Isaiah 6:3, a seraphim called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Matthew 25:31, in final judgment, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Revelation 21:23, and the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. It was James MacDonald's book, Vertical Church, that turned me on to this idea. What would it be like to be in God's presence? And why would we go to a church, our church, and worship the God of the universe, who cared enough to send his Son to die for us, and not expect to meet with him? Do you come here expecting God to show up? Why are we here? But the verse I really love, I have to share with you from Exodus 33, my favorite glory verse. Exodus 33. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know, whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore, I have found favor in your sight. Please show me your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people." And he, God, said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And he said, Moses said to him, "If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not your going with us so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth?" Oh, I love it. When's the last time you had a conversation with God like that? When's the last time you said, "God, I can't do this. Come with me. Be with me." Moses is so honest. "If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here." We must get serious with God at times. Talk to him with what's on our heart. It's good stuff. Well, God answers. And the Lord said to Moses, "This very thing you have spoken I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name." Moses said, "Please show me your glory." And he said, I will make my goodness pass before you and proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on a rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I'll take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Please show me your glory. What a prayer. What a prayer. This is my prayer and the prayer of your leadership. God, show us your glory. Now look at verse 19. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I show mercy. Isaiah 55, 8, 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours. So, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. This is what I want for Cobblestone, God to be with us. We don't want to come here on man's strength, but God's strength. We want everyone that comes through these doors to know that the living God is here. How else will they know God is with us unless he's not, unless he's here? How will they know? How will you know? So what's this have to do with Psalm 107? Hopefully we'll see God's glory as we look farther into Psalm 107. Let the redeemer of the Lord say so. Brad, set this up perfect. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble. This is a psalm of deliverance. This is a psalm of praise. It's both. It reveals a ton of who God is, his steadfast love. Let's get started on this sprint. And I call it a sprint through Psalm 107. We got some verses to cover. These three verses set it up well. Praise him. Isn't that what we've been doing today? Praising him. Four predicaments of man are displayed in this psalm. The wanderer, the prisoner, afflicted caused by sin, and being overwhelmed by life circumstances. And there's a pattern that repeats to each of these deliverances. There's the predicament, there's the prayer, there's the provision, and there's the praise. Let's take a look at the wanderer. Verse 4, some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. He led them by a straight path till they reached the city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, his wonderful, wondrous works to the children of man. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. This is the wanderer just like the Israelites. In fact, it's written for the Israelites as they were wandering in the desert. But that's us today. That's so many of us today. Looking for answers, not knowing the truth about God in eternity. Just continually searching. Let's start at verse 10, the prisoner. Some sat in darkness, in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. None. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them of their distress. He brought them out of darkness in the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, his wondrous works to the children of man. These are the ones that know the truth and reject it and rebel against the word of God. The afflicted. Some were fools, Verse 17. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because their iniquity suffered affliction, they loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Let them offer sacrifice of thanksgiving and tell the deeds of the songs of joy. These are the afflicted because of sinful lifestyles or addictions. And the last classification that's portrayed here in this psalm is the overwhelmed by life circumstances. Verse 23, some went down to the sea in ships doing business on great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep, for he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted to the heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men, and they were at wit's end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them in their distress. He made the storm still, and the waves of the sea hushed. Then they were glad, and the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to children of man. These are people that circumstances in their life are overwhelming because of things out of their control. I love this psalm because several years ago, this psalm spoke to me when this church had horrible difficulties. We had seen the highs. We have rode the waves. We had been there. We'd seen the highs and lows here in this church. We moved into a new building. We had two successful Capital Drives campaign. We felt secure. Then the tough times hit. We had problems. And the church was splitting right before our eyes. It was only when we cried to the Lord, save us. We said, God, this is your church, not ours. Have your way. And we found peace. We were delivered to a safe haven. The four predicaments or conditions of man that are examples here. Deliverance, wanderer, prisoner, afflicted. Afflicted, caused by sin, and those being overwhelmed by circumstances. Here's where God's glory shows up in our church. Right beside you, right now, maybe a few seats over or a few rows over, are folk like you and me that have been redeemed, saved, delivered from these exact things. When I was running from God, I knew the truth at that time. I was responsible. I'd say, I have a better way. Or, not just yet, I don't want to give up the world's way. I was miserable. That was my predicament. I cried out, save me. That was my prayer. I found Jesus. I found my eternal home. Set free from sins that were destroying my future. That was my provision. Then I had to tell someone I was saved. That was my praise. See it? See the rhythm? That's the plan God has set forth. It's the way, the truth, and the life. It's Jesus. Acknowledge the predicament, pray, receive the provision, praise. See the pattern? Acknowledge your condition, pray, receive God's provision, and praise him. That's what we do here at Cobblestone. Whether you're new to the faith or old, this rhythm of repentance and praise works. It's real. Psalm 40, verse 2 says, "He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my foot on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand." This is a rhythm of redemption. This just doesn't happen once. This is repentance. God delivers when we cry out. Look at these examples again. Wanderer, prisoner, afflicted, caused by sin, overwhelmed circumstances. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. All four of these examples, he delivered them from their distress. That's how the glory of God shows up here at Cobblestone. People crying out for deliverance. There's nothing that the recipients did in advance to receive grace. Only a sincere cry, "I need you, God. Save me." Trust in him, not in your own ways. Pastor Steve Cole puts it this way. Do you feel lost? Are you wandering? Jesus says, "I am the way." Do you feel empty and hungry? Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." Do you feel thirsty to know God? Jesus said, "I will give you living water." Do you feel exhausted and weary? Jesus said, "I will give you rest." To get help from God, you must realize you are lost, give up your own efforts to find the way, and call out to God. He will lead you to himself. Aren't we the type to try and do it on ourselves? Do it all ourselves. And then when we finally say, "I can't do it anymore," we cry out to God and he delivers. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, his wondrous works to the children of man. Let them extol him in the congregation of people and praise him in the assembly of elders. All four of these examples, they end in praise and thanksgiving. Sing of his mercies. That's what I love about this church. Folks are not afraid to show thanks. They praise God and freely raise their hands. Let them. In every one of these instances, let them. Praise the Lord. That's all that is expected. So where are you in this psalm? Are you looking for something? Wandering from relationship to relationship, seeking someone to make you happy? Maybe you're partying your heart out on weekends or immersing yourself in your job to find satisfaction, but always leaves you dissatisfied. Or maybe there's an unhealthy lifestyle that's taken a toll on your body. Or maybe, just maybe, you are at wit's end asking, "Why me? Why me? Why all this trouble?" Calamity can come on us without notice. Psalm 40, verse 2 says, "He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my foot on a rock, and he gave me a firm place to stand." Cry out to God. God's glory has shown up here at Cobblestone. I see it every time I participate in the prayer room. You know, you can go there and you see 60-year-old men and women on their knees crying out to God alongside of college students. That's the glory of God. We see people praising God in the midst of serious illnesses and disease in this church. That's the glory of God. We see children's ministry exploding with children giving their hearts to Jesus regularly. That's the glory of God. We see men stepping up to lead their families. We see women mentoring other women. That's the glory of God. We see the love of God in forgiving one another and healing there, and the healing taking place in their families. God is faithful. He delivers. So where are you? I'm going to close in prayer right now. Think about this. If you're redeemed and you're being persecuted or you're in wild situation, Where are you? Where are you in this? Are you trusting God? If you're wandering and you haven't met the Savior and you don't know, or the circumstances in your life were caused by things that happened to you, or where are you? Let's pray. Father, right now in this room, your redeemed is here. Father, we praise you from the bottom of our hearts for what you have done through your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for saving us. But also, Lord, there are those in this room who are going through a lot of tough stuff going on in their lives. Some of them by their own action of a rebellion, but others by circumstances that are way out of their control. Whatever their situation, Father, send your Holy Spirit to lead them in truth. Father, give them the power and the courage to follow your calling. You are calling them home. Father God, thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please, do not leave here without calling out to God, to the God who loves you and wants a relationship with you. There are prayer counselors up front, the redeemed of the Lord. There are prayer counselors up front who will speak and pray with you. Stay as long as you like and worship here with the band. Thank you.